Welcome to the Talk Over podcast, a conversational platform for the DJs, by the DJs, brought to you by Double and Stylus.
Swag.
Tune in every week to hear us talk about all the things we see, hear and experience as DJs. Don't forget to subscribe to the channel by simply searching Talk Over podcast on either Spotify or Apple Music.
All right, we're in. We're inside the building.
DJ Double and DJ Stylus in the building.
Inside the pod clart.
The pod clart. You know, it's taken off now, isn't it? People have been tweeting about the pod clart.
The guy's got people tweeting pod clart, man.
It's fucking amazing. I think it's the most amazing word in my vocabulary at the moment. I love
you. Yeah, you can take full kudos on that one, mate. That was all you're doing.
Pod clart.
Flipping heck.
Yeah, we're rebranding.
Welcome to a new episode of the Talk Over pod clart. What are you saying, Dubs? What's going on?
I'm all right, bruv. I'm deliriously happy right now because, coffee is in full flow and I'm running on fumes in terms of actual energy because it's obviously Freshers Week at the moment.
And last week was a myth.
Yeah, it's mad, bruv. Freshers Week's always a bit crazy. But actually, you know what? To be honest, I'll be entirely honest with you. The freshest shows that I've done so far, and I've done four now, have all been a bit tamer than last year. They all seem a little bit little bit more reserved, like they're not really on the party thing.
So. I have not enjoyed this year's freshers, man.
Oh, shit.
It's not that. I feel the same as you. Yeah. I just feel like the vibes just weren't as strong this year, man. It was definitely tamer. It's a weird one. It wasn't the full on litness that I know. Like, this is like my 12th fucking freshers, man.
Yeah.
So
yeah, same.
Been around the block, mate. But yeah, this year could be the tamest one, bro. No lie.
Yeah, I feel like the freshers this year seem like people that actually want to study. Whereas previous years,
check this before you carry on. Bro, at some of the halls up here, the gym sign up had like the biggest queues, bro.
Wow. On that healthy tip. That's good.
You get me?
That's good. But I feel like previous years, being a student's about basically avoiding getting a proper job for an extra 3 years. And just being out and getting fucked up constantly, like getting smashed on a regular basis. Bruv, I used to see the same people out like 4 or 5 nights a week, all students just getting absolutely ruined. Whereas this year, obviously it's only freshers, so time will tell, but it does feel like this year they're a little bit more, actually, you know
people
what?
People actually want to work and make money
paying,
this year.
We're
yeah?
paying all this money to study, so let's actually get a degree. They want to get a degree so they can get a proper job. Fucking
I
losers.
Hear I hear that. Lose it. Bro, did you go to uni?
No.
Nah, I didn't either, I never got to live that sweaty student life. Like, I kind of wish that I did, to be fair.
I was lucky, bruv, because actually I met Leanne, like my other half, for those people listening that don't know. We both worked in the same club. I was DJing, she was a barmaid, but she was a uni student. And I met her.
My man hit on the barmaid, you know.
No, she put it on me, bruv. Come on.
Gas.
But anyway, so basically, obviously we got together and then I just lived as a student pretty much, just without the debt and the lectures. So like, I was just, bro, I stayed at her house so often because it was down in Eastbourne where I was playing a lot. Made very close friends with all our housemates. We'd all go out partying together. And yeah, I lived,
oh, really?
I saw for about good 2-3 years, I lived a decent student life, bruv, but I've got no debt.
Without going to uni.
No debt and I had no lectures. That's how you do it, ladies and gentlemen.
That's how you do it. Just go and hit on a barmaid and live like a student for 3 years and you're nice.
Attach yourself to a student and just basically squat in their house for a couple of years. Live that dream.
Bro, do you know what? Looking back, I don't even know why I didn't go to uni. Like, I should have gone, man. I did. Do you know what it was? I went to college. I did music production. And then after like 2 years of that, I got my diploma and I was like, I just want to get paid, innit? I want to go out into the big world, man, and start trying to make shit work. So that was it. I made my decision.
Yeah.
And just cracked on.
That's it.
It's worked all right. It's worked out all right so far, but yeah. Looking back, I see these students and like, I wish I went away and stayed in some halls in a different city and got absolutely smashed every night.
Yeah.
Did no work. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Got up to no good. Anyway.
Exactly.
Big up the students. Yes. Big up Freshers Gang. I'm glad to see the back of last week. Your freshers week is a week after ours. Ours started last Monday.
Ours is like 2 weeks long as well, because there's two universities in Brighton, so it extends for like 14 days basically. But I've got different areas. I've got Surrey, Surrey University, the University of East London, and also I've got Uxbridge tonight, and I think that might be Brunel University that goes out in Uxbridge. I'm not sure. There's a few little different spots that I get to hit throughout freshers week, which is cool.
Sick.
I enjoy it, man.
Sick.
So anyway, before we go any further, make sure you lot follow the Twitter at TalkOverPod, because we're obviously dumping content and stuff on there, but we're also getting a little bit interactive and talking to you guys about the topics and stuff. And somebody raised a good one, which we're going to bring up today. It's about the track.
We've had a couple, to be fair. You put a tweet out, right?
Yeah.
So you tweeted something.
That's right. I dropped a tweet basically asking like what topics you guys want to hear. And had a decent response, man. There's a lot of people hit back with different topics, which over the foreseeable future, we're going to just dip in and out and cover those topics, basically.
But
the one we decided to cover today is how to transition from being a bedroom DJ to a club DJ.
Let's find the tweet. I've got the tweet here. Yeah, so it was from DJ Mikey O.
Big up Mikey.
I don't know if that's how you say his name, but big up Mikey O. This guy is actually, he listens a lot, to be fair. He's reached out to me a couple of times.
Yeah, I know him from Kingston, actually. I see him in Kingston occasionally.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Oh, is he from down your end, Oh, yeah, London boy. My guy. So he's put, how to go from bedroom DJ to club DJ. What are the steps you would advise? I think this would be a good one, as there are a lot of up-and-coming controller bedroom DJs. Man, drop controller in there, you know.
Shots
controller. Fire. Man said if you're in the bedroom on your controller, you're a waste, basically. I'm only joking. joking. Do you know what? The reason why I wanted to talk about this, because I thought it'd be interesting for us to kind of break down like the route that we kind of took, because I'm sure they're going to be completely different from when it comes from breaking out from a bedroom DJ to going to the clubs. Right. What did you play in a club before you was 18, Dubs?
But literally like, just before I was 18, and I had to fully lie. I had to blag it. I was 17 and I had to proper blag it and tell him that I was 18, basically, because I thought otherwise I wouldn't get the job.
Bro, check this, yeah? My first gig, no lie, I got a peggy up through the bathroom window of a pub, of like a pub / bar in my local area. And what it was, yeah? one of my brother's friends used to work in this bar. So I always used to see her and whatnot, and she like used to see me doing the DJ thing and whatever else, and I always used to nag her. I'm like, oh, I really want to DJ, and I was like 17, 16 at the time.
Yeah.
And then one Friday night, this bar was obviously a bit rags. It was rags, bro. Like, it was just a local spot. So she was like, yeah, come down, one of the guys will grab you through the bathroom window.
That's amazing.
Man came down, yeah, with his flipping CD pack. Because it was CDs and that back then, yeah. CD pack. Climbed through the window of the bathroom, G. And did like a 30-minute set, yeah. I remember though, I smacked it and it was on... Do you remember them jog wheel, like, CD decks that were, like, built into the wall? And it was, like, an all-in-one. And it had, like, the little wheel that you could turn with your finger.
Yeah, the little Denon units.
Yeah, and you had to like scroll through the track, like, but like scramble through it, like.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Yeah,
like
yeah.
You're trying to find a cue, bro. Man, murked the dance on a set of them.
I've actually done that before. I've had to do a set on a pair of them before, and I'm smacked it.
They're the best decks, bro. Back in the day, bro, trying to mix on them, trying to get shit in time was the hardest thing ever.
Mad.
But yeah, I remember that was like my first spot. I remember the guy was like proper impressed, and I think I was 18 in like 6 months. So like, I set myself up for like a residency as soon as they're 18.
Yes.
Like, I got lucky and got into this bar. But yeah, anyway, that was, I just thought I'd throw that in there.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. One of my first residencies, not my first one, but one of my first ones was actually in a bit of a like grimy pub as well.
A grimy poob.
Like, yeah, like a proper dive. Do you know what I mean? Like a proper shit pub that you definitely wouldn't take a girl on a date to, that sort of thing.
You got to start somewhere, G.
Yeah, but looking back now as well, I'm thinking about the people that I used to see in there, and like, with an exception of about 15 to 20 people, the rest of the people there are absolutely not the type of people that would want to be hearing a DJ spinning like R&B and hip hop. I've no idea what I was doing there. But similarly, it was a really good training ground, basically, for me to just be out there performing in front of people. Do you know what I mean? Exactly. Like, just to be out there and I've got strangers in front of me and now I have to mix. And there's pressure to keep the music on for a start. You can't let the music stop. Like, if you're in your bedroom, you can just stop and do whatever, innit? But no, I'm serious. I mean, like, if you're out in public and you're doing a public gig, like, there's pressure, bruv. You can't let the music stop. You can't let that song
run out. when you first start out, bruv.
That's what I'm talking about. In the first like actual residency or the first regular job that you get as a DJ, like, it's gonna be pressure. So I think personally, I think like that's a really good sort of place to start as a DJ, in basically like just a tiny little shithole place. Just, do you know what I mean? Just to earn the stripes, get the experience in playing somewhere just where there's other people. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think one thing is...
Nah, not at all, man. You're better off starting at the bottom. If you go and jump in feet first in deep waters, mate, you're going to end up shooting yourself in the foot a little bit. Like you said, you need to just iron out the gripes.
Yeah.
Learning to mix under pressure and hold yourself in front of a room full of people, not just mixing. Like, I look at some DJs and they just stand there with like their head down and that. Like, you got to get your confidence up and that, innit? I remember the first time I played in a club, I was bricking it, my G.
Yeah, same. So I was really, I'd sweaty hands
absolutely
a lot. I could barely scratch my hands with that sweaty. I couldn't really scratch properly with the vinyl. I was using vinyl, obviously, at the time. But my hands were so clammy, I couldn't get the right scratch grip.
Oh, my.
Nerves, bruv, nerves. But you know what? I think, like, because of the social media age and the way that all social media platforms integrate with DJing now and the way people are building themselves up as DJs, I think one thing that's overlooked massively and a massive misconception, actually, is, like, beginner DJs and DJs that are really just starting to break out and do sets in public feel like they have to be in a packed club, like in the best venues, doing headline sets straight away because that's what they're seeing on Instagram and that's all their
social media.
That's
is.
All they're seeing from everybody. They're not like the people that are out there playing like half-filled, grimy little sweaty pubs and stuff like this. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're not posting that on Instagram because they don't want that to be seen. But I don't think there's anything wrong with doing those kind of sets in the early stages. So I think, like...
No, I agree, man.
One huge thing to take into account, if you are a bedroom DJ looking to step out and get somewhere in public, don't go straight for the holy grail of your area. Do you know what I mean? Don't go straight for the biggest club with the biggest club sets expecting to get a prime time Saturday night. Look elsewhere.
I was just going to say, like, the odds of that happening anyway are pretty slim when you're starting out, innit? Like, they want, like, even the bigger clubs, when they get hit up by DJs that are starting out, 9 times out of 10, they probably wouldn't even reply to you, innit? Like, they kind of just leave you to, like, build yourself up a little bit. Like, I've had people hit me up for gigs over the years that are, like, just starting out. And then, like, I've chatted to them. And then, like, 3-4 years later, they're flying. Do you know what I mean? And they put the work in. And then the booking eventually, like, the booking ends up, like, happening in the end. But, yeah, you got to let these guys, like you say, play the shitty gigs, man. But they're not even shitty gigs at the time. Like, I remember that first residency I got. That was the best thing since sliced bread, fam, at the time.
Yeah, at the time.
It's like, shit, I'm playing out Friday, Saturday night, every weekend, getting my little change and that and earning my stripes. And,
yeah.
And that was just in a local village, bro. That wasn't even in the centre of Manchester. That was, like, my local little town. I think that's the best place to start out, man. If you start locally and try and build that little engagement and following within your local little ends, and then eventually look to move out into the city centre. Like, I was playing out to, it was like 100-150 people on a Friday and Saturday night. Like, it was minor.
It was a grungy
gaff called the Met Bar. Shout out the Met Bar gang, blup 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 blup. Because without that place, I would have never got anywhere without that place.
Yeah, similarly, I can't remember what the pub that I played in, the one that I mentioned, was in Eastbourne. I think it was called like the Sovereign or something, and it like, yeah.
The Sovereign.
Yeah, something like that. But yeah, it was...
Remember them Sovereign rings, the man them used to wear back in the day. Mad.
It was
I
not,
a double flex one of them.
It was not a nice venue. Not a nice one. Not a nice venue at all. But it was essential, man, because learning what I learned there and getting the confidence playing there, definitely helped me with everything that I do now. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's a building block in what I've done. So it is essential. But I think one thing, yeah, I think it's just important that you look about in your area, innit? And if there's like a little bar or a pub, they don't really do a lot. They've not, do you know what I mean? Like, they've not got a lot popping and whatnot, and there might be scope for you to do something. I think just approach the landlord.
I was going to say, even if they don't have a DJ on, innit, bruv? Like, you approach them and say, approach the manager. I'm just a DJ.
Yeah. And especially in your local area, because if you've got a good friendship group, if you can bring 20 people out, if it's just a small bar and you can roll with 20 people with you, you've got to think that's 20 people that are going to be buying drinks and holding a vibe while you're DJing. Like,
yep.
And ultimately as well, what people, I think, overlook is if you approach a venue and you want to DJ for them, why would they want you to DJ for them? Like, what's the point? And the point is, they need to make money. Like, they're running a business. Do you know what I mean? So ultimately, like, you have to look at it as in, okay, so if they're going to give you the time and the space, and potentially if you negotiate it right, they'll give you a fee for DJing there, what are you bringing to the table? Do you know what I mean? So, like, if you're now bringing a squad of 20 people, 20 extra people on a Friday night, if it's just a quiet little bar or quiet little pub in a small town or whatnot, if you're bringing 20 people with you, that's a good, decent bar spend. If they only spend a tenner each, that's £200 extra that bar wasn't getting. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I think the smaller local places are more bound to take stuff on like that as well. Like you say, exactly. Your city centre bars, they don't really need it.
Yeah.
But if you're in your local area and you can put, and like you say, you've got the skills and can bring a little something to the table in regards to making the venue a bit of money, bringing some people in.
Exactly.
And it's a win-win on both sides. The venue's winning, they're making money. You're getting to DJ, getting your little change and starting to generate your little following in your area, innit?
Precisely.
Same, bruv. Exactly how it happened for me, bruv. It was like that, and that residency allowed me to build to the point where the place was popping, bro.
Yeah.
I was like 18, 19 at the time. I was like, this is the greatest. Oh my God. 1 second. I need to shut my door. Shit.
You need to what?
One sec. Oh my God.
What have you done?
I'm back. I'm scared of wasps, fam.
A wasp
just flew into my living room. Oh my God.
Are you scared of wasps?
I'm scared of wasps. I've got a serious phobia, bro. If there's one thing that'll make me jump out of my skin and shit me up on the spot, it's a wasp. Little bastards.
Bro, I heard the fear in your voice.
There was one flying at the door, like trying to get in, and the door was open. I was like, if it comes in now, this podcast is getting abandoned real quick.
I'm not editing this out. This is staying in.
Yeah, no, that's cool. Bro, I'll be out in public if a wasp comes near me. I just start spazzing out.
Oh, that is amazing. I want to be there. anyway, back on track.
So,
yeah, I mean, I'm speaking about it all from like a small town mentality, because really that's where I grew up, in a small town. Do you know what I mean? I didn't grow up in a city or anything. So it might be slightly different for city DJs. Obviously, like, it's a completely different structure and way that things are done. But I mean, I think one really important thing to think, there's a few stages actually. So going from bedroom DJ to club DJ, first of all, make sure that you're good enough. And you have to put the work in. Like, I got my first set of decks when I was 15. I didn't get into the
club.
I didn't get into the club until I was nearly 18. So that's like, it was a good 2.5 years, and no shit, I was on that stuff every single day.
Like,
after school, bro, and like every single day I would fire up the decks, have a mix, and just try and teach myself new stuff, listen to Shorty Blitz's like mix CDs to try and learn like new scratch techniques and stuff, because obviously, like, back then YouTube wasn't a thing. I couldn't turn on a YouTube tutorial, but
the internet wasn't a thing.
No, but you know what, I did actually have I had a DVD that helped me. What's the like, he's a proper scratch wizard, the Asian guy from America.
Craze.
No, what's his name?
Not Craze.
Qbert, DJ Qbert.
Oh shit, original, done.
Yeah, so for anyone, I'm just going to throw this in as like a bonus tip. Anyone that wants to learn to scratch, if you want to learn like just the basics and really cool, just very basic scratches, DJ Cuba has a DVD series, which obviously now I'm pretty sure will be online. You'll be able to find it on YouTube somewhere. And he talks you through how to scratch, like all the basic scratches. And that was an essential tool for me. Like that coupled with Shorty Blitz's mix CDs, right, which I used to listen to. I'd listen to what he was doing scratch wise and then I'd use the same songs and try and replicate the sounds that I heard. And that was one way I learned to scratch. And then Q-Bert's tutorial DVD, that was another thing. Like, yeah, so Q-Bert and Shorty Blitz raised me when it comes to scratching, man.
You had a DVD, yeah? You took it to a different level. I learned off a flipping... I read a book, bro. Mine was like a beat matching manual.
Off a book?
And it was like a DJ, it was like a beat matching book, like a manual thing. Oh, wow. And it like explained how to like count beats and like 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, yeah. Like I'm talking like the early basics like that. Like, okay. I literally learned off that, bro. And I remember when I first got my decks, I'd mithered my mum to get them me for like 2 years, and every Christmas I never got them. And then when I got to like my 15th birthday, or 15 years old, and it was Christmas Eve and not my birthday, I finally got them.
Yes.
And it was a set of Cam belt drive turntables. I think they were called Cam BDX something.
Yeah.
And I remember the first couple of days, yeah, mum was like, I'm never going to be able to mix. this is well hard, fam. And I remember just thinking, shit, I've mithered for these decks for like 3 years and I'm never going to be able to do this. and then my dad got me this beat matching manual thing. Sick. It was a book,
yeah,
that like broke down how to like DJ from right from the start, like bottom techniques and that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I learned off that, man. It was a book, bruv.
Yeah,
so yeah, man didn't even have the divda. But yeah, Q-Bert though.
Yeah, yeah.
Legend.
There's another guy actually that just literally just popped into my head, and he actually has a YouTube series. I only saw one or two of his videos, but this was when I was like a grown DJ, so I never actually needed the help. But DJ Angelo, he does YouTube.
He's from Amsterdam, I think.
I'm not sure where he's from actually, but he basically does tutorials and breaks down everything about DJing, from components of the turntables down to actually how to beat match and how to mix and stuff.
I like the way he explains it, man. Like he breaks it down in a good way, in it where it's like understandable, it doesn't go over your head too much of it.
Yeah,
Angelo's cold,
exactly,
man.
So there's a couple of ways that you can learn online. Also, shouts to Smooth Fuego, because he is I think he's in London now. I thought he was from Birmingham originally, but
Birmingham. It's from Birmingham.
For some reason, I think he's based in London now, and basically doing DJ lessons.
Yeah, he does the DJ classes, isn't it?
DJ classes. Yeah, someone hit me.
He's giving back to the society, man. I rate that highly.
Someone asked me not too long ago if I would teach them to DJ, and in all honesty, like I physically don't have the time to actually sit down and teach someone. Plus, I am a terrible teacher, brother. Like, I'm good at what I do, but I cannot explain how I do it. Like, I'm a proper crap teacher. Push them towards Smooth, because he's running DJ lessons. So again, if you're a bedroom DJ listening and you want to get your skills up, there you go. We just dumped a bunch of ways you can do it. There's a load of other people that do DJ lessons as well. Smooth's just the only one, man, that I know by name. But yeah, you can look him up.
I think the other key thing is, bro, once you got your skills up as well, is putting yourself out there, innit? Obviously, yeah. Now with social media and stuff, I think like the more people you know and the more shoulders you rub with, even just like, I remember just going to events and just mingling and trying to smooth the right people, and not just begging it though, do you know what I mean? Like just trying to embed yourself in the culture a little bit and being part of it, and then eventually like you move alongside the right people and the bookings kind of just happen in the end. Like it's mad, like you can't just be out there and just trying to beg the bookings. Like you got to put yourself into it. Like I immersed myself into it. I was showing up at all the nights, I was supporting other people's bits and bobs, turning up to DJ competitions. I was just trying to put myself in every position possible,
yeah,
to the point where everyone was like, oh shit, oh Stylus, yeah, oh we'll book Stylus or whatever. And it was just kind of a natural a natural progression over like a couple of years where I would just try and show my face at as much things as possible and just making sure I'm trying to put myself out there as a DJ in it from early.
That's the really important thing, man. And like this is it as well. If you're out and about and you're constantly at all of the right events and stuff, you're going to see people, they're going to be familiar. Like eventually over time, you're going to actually like not just a network of like promoters and other DJs, but actual club goers. People that are in the club are going to get to know you. So if you're a cool guy, if you're a girl and you're out there and you're friendly and you're chatting with people and stuff, and then if you get a club set, you can actually say to all these people, oh, look, I'm going to be playing here tomorrow night, or I'm going to be playing there next week. Like, why don't you come along? And then straight away, you're starting to build your fan base just by being out at the events. But I think what you said is right. Like, being out and about and building your network up is so important. There's a lot of instances, you know, I've sat down or done something like with a manager or a club promoter that I'm friends with, and they've showed me like a message that they've been sent from a DJ. Oh, such and such has sent me this DM, or such and such has emailed me this. And they've almost had a bit of a laugh about the fact that they've got such a formal email. Do you know what I mean? Like, people are actually sitting down and writing like emails to promoters and club managers as if it was a proper office job application. Like, dear sir, I'm writing to you because I would quite like to perform in your venue. No.
Bro, do you know what? Bro, I can't even hate. I can't hate because I used to do that in my early days.
Exactly the same.
When you've not been taught how to approach these people, like it's a...
Yeah.
I remember sending a couple of them emails, G. Damn right.
I did exactly the same, bro. But I'm telling you now, like, it's a waste of time. I don't think I ever got a job in a club off of DJ or emailing a promoter like that. Like, it's about out and about, meeting them, and like ultimately just becoming friends with people, innit? Just becoming a cool guy that everybody knows and you know everyone, and just build your network up. Like,
the reputation is key, bro. Well, not, like you say, if you're like, not even the reputation, but if people know of you and know that you're, like you say, you're a cool guy, people fuck with you, and you're a dope DJ too.
Exactly.
Like, the work is gonna come naturally, innit?
Exactly. But I think, like, yeah, it's sending emails and DMs like that to people is a waste of time. And I'm telling you, like, yeah, like I say, some managers will show me messages and be like, look at this. And it, like, yeah.
I think it's a waste of time when you... Oh, I don't know, man. Like, I might have got one or two bookings over the years where I've just hit man up in the DM, but it's like you say, I wouldn't approach it on a formal thing. I'd keep it super informal.
That's what I mean. Like,
just be on a chatty flex, like...
Yeah,
like I'm chatting to like one of the boys or whatever. Like, that's work. That does work sometimes. But I know what you're saying, the formal stuff where it's like,
right.
I'm getting them now for Get Loose. Like, I'm getting upcoming DJs hitting me up, like, and I message these kids back. But it's just the formal, exactly what I mean is
like, you're not applying for a fucking a job at Buckingham Palace, bruv. Like, this is a club set, if you want it. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you want to play at that... My best advice here, if you want to play at that club that badly, go to the club. Introduce yourself. Be that face that you've seen every single week. If you're not playing anywhere else, if you've got a sick spot that you want to be at on a Friday night, go there. Make friends with the DJ that's there. Make friends with the manager. Make sure security knows who you are. Make sure the bar staff know who you are. Just be there and be just a regular face, a regular guy. And then... slightly contradicting what we were saying last week about DJ mixes, but maybe do a little mix and drop it on a USB or drop it onto a CD, and then one time just go up and say to the manager, look, I'm a DJ, this is what I do, here's a mix, have a listen to it. Now, the thing with CDs is, again, like, that's another thing where I've had managers literally show me their bin, and they've got like 12 DJ mix CDs in the bin, and they just get sent them, or they just get given them, and they just dump them straight in the bin because they don't care. But again, it's one of those things where if you just put it out there and if you give them the CD, they might listen to it. That's how I got one of my biggest early residencies in Brighton. And I remember the promoter saying to me, like, they were looking for a new warm-up DJ, and just like coincidentally enough, I just was doing that. I was at his event all the time, so he knew me as just like a sort of like a startup DJ type guy. And then one day I did a mix, gave him the mix, and he actually listened to it because he was on the lookout for a DJ, and he was like, yo, this kid needs a job. And so,
see, that's dope. So I'm saying that it can be luck of the draw, isn't it? It can be luck of the draw. Yeah. But if you don't give them out at all, then you're never going to know. You might give out 100,
yeah,
and one or two might hit you back, innit?
Like, exactly.
You've got to be prepared to hand out some bro. I remember handing out pure, like, well, back in my day when I started, it was tapes. Mm-hmm. So I remember giving out. I used to approach the clubs and give mixtapes in.
Yeah. What tapes? Like actual tape cassette?
Actual cassette tapes, bro.
Bruh.
Yeah, man. Yeah, because man couldn't afford flipping to get CDs burnt and all that. But this is going back like 13, 14 years. So it was like, I used to go in, give the tapes out, TDK 90s, old school flex, and just be prepared to not even hear anything back from like 90% of them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you can't let that. It's true though. Like, you can't let that get you down. Like, you've got to consistently give them out. I remember with the One Extra stuff, I was sending in demos for like 4 years.
Oh,
mixtapes, mixes, blah blah. And when I finally got the call to go down and do a pilot, they got the box of stuff out of what I'd been sending.
Really?
And it was like, I swear down, bruv, it was like a cardboard box full of stuff. And you're like, literally, just due to your perseverance and your hunger, we're willing to get you in to do a pilot. And
no
at the time, I was really shit at radio.
Yeah.
Really shit. And I remember going in and doing that pilot, the first run of pilots, and I was just so unprepared. And I remember it was just a disaster. I just remember the first one of pilots had done was just really, really bad. But because I was so consistent with it, they got me to go down, bro. This was in the old BBC building and everything. Yeah, man.
Go on, carry on.
No, I was going to say, obviously, I ended up getting in there and doing our thing in the end anyway. But that first time around, I'm caught with my pants down, mate. Fully.
My first pilot for One Extra was amazing. Like, I'm not even gassing myself. Like, it was actually a
this guy. Bro,
no.
Shit on my chips, will you, bro?
It was a proper sick show, my first pilot, but I did it late. Cool. So I'd already been doing radio for like 4 or 5 years, and then they got me into pilot. And bro, it was such a sick pilot. And they didn't call me back.
Dope.
Nothing.
Bro, it's like that piloting stage. That piloting stage is hard, man. It's like you go and it's like, right, we're gonna do a show now, but you're not talking to anyone and it's not live. Just do your thing. But I remember just being so unprepared, bro.
Oh,
I'd been on community radio for like a year,
right,
in Manny.
Yeah, that was it.
And I was still at a point where I didn't even have my personality on lock yet. I was like still shouting a little bit and you know when you're still figuring out how to present. I was so rough.
when I look back,
when I left, she must have thought, fucking waste of time.
Let's put the box back on the shelf. Mine was the opposite because I'd done so much time on community radio already. So, brother, I came up with, like, I wasn't nervous at all. Like, everything, I'd already been in One Extra and done Extra Talent at this point as well. So I'd already done 12 shows in the past.
Oh, sick. So some of them
were even live shows. So I've even done live on air shows on One Extra, and then I was asked to pilot. And so I walked in the building with my chest out, bruv, like, big man's here, come on, let's get this show.
Bro.
And
my
then
guy,
I came
guy.
I came with features, like, I think I had an interview clip to put in there, so like, I came loaded, bruv. But
what, that was on your pilot, you put all that in?
Bruv, I put in the most.
No, I wasn't even allowed to do any of that. See, that's because you already had a couple of years under your belt, innit? Man, Simi knew what he was doing, so went in and flexed.
Well, so I thought, I never got a call back, though, did I? I didn't get asked back.
Yeah, because we weren't ticking the right boxes, mate. We won't even go into this conversation.
That's another PodClark conversation. Anyway, so
that's,
back...
That's for another PodClark.
Yeah, back to the topic. I feel like... Yeah, so to get out
even
of
community
the
radio, bro, even trying to get into your local community station, I think that's an integral thing. Like, even if it's not your route, even if it's just a mix show.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Getting some kind of output away from being in a club or like doing your mixtapes. Like, I think any kind of output like that. I remember trying to get mix shows on internet stations.
Yeah.
Where I would just send my mix in and it would go out and I'd be gassed promoting it on it, even though it's like some dead end station that no one ain't listening to. But at the time, it just felt like the right thing to do. I was just like, right, I'll put my stuff anywhere.
Yeah.
Mixtapes. I want internet radio. I'm going to turn up at all these club nights. I just want to speak and move around everyone. And, I was just trying to do anything, bro, in them early days.
I feel like there's probably, it's different tactics for different people, isn't it? Like, it's It, what worked for me isn't going to work for you, and what worked for you isn't going to work for someone else. But like, I feel like there's so many different things. But going back to my other point, like, the most fundamental thing to begin with, if you're DJing in your bedroom and you want to get into clubs, and like I said it already, is get the practice in. Make sure you've actually got the ability. Like,
that's the most important thing, man. Like, these days it's gone the other way, G.
Yeah, and
some people keep treating the socials as the most important thing, but then the techers don't line up.
Yeah, the technology has made it so easy to become club standard quickly. So you don't even have to wait that 2.5 years like what I put in grafting on vinyl. You can, like, realistic, if you used to DJ every day in your bedroom and practice your mixing and stuff like that, you could get it locked to a point where you're club capable in less than a year, I reckon.
100%.
And like, some people are going to hear this and be like, fucking hell, I've got to put a year's worth of work in. But it's like, yeah,
a year is nothing, guys.
If you look at any other profession, and don't get it twisted, like, DJing is a profession. It's a fun one, but it's a job, and you have to be good at it. Any other job, name any other job that you can get fully trained and go out and do your own thing in the field in less than a year. Like, plumbing, no. Building, no. Doctor, no. Lawyer, no. Like, even the,
you could try it within even, a year, but
even
you
the police, even the police have a 3-year blooming training and probation period. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, you just got to look at this like a job. And if you want to be good at that job and go far, put the work in and practice. And I think that's the first hurdle that a lot of people are stumbling over and not doing correctly, because they buy a controller. I'm not firing shots at people with controllers, by the way, not yet. But they'll get a controller because it's the easiest and cheapest setup to have in a house, rather than buy a mixer and CDJs and all of this stuff. They'll get a controller, they'll do a couple of like 2 weeks at home practicing, and they think they're club ready, and then they start hunting for club jobs. Nah, put the work in at home first and get good. Like, then get good.
Yeah, and even learning to be comfortable with the equipment as well, bro. If you're jumping straight into a club after 2-3 weeks, like, stuff is going to happen, or problems are going to arise during your set that you're not going to know how to deal with, or like troubleshoot on the fly if you don't know your gear properly, innit?
100%, like, 100%.
Learn your equipment, whether it's controller, mixer, decks, like, know what each knob does, pause.
No.
Like, just learn your gear, innit? Like, obviously now when I'm in the booth, for anything that happens or goes down, I can normally troubleshoot it or fix it on the fly, but I know if I've only been 2-3 weeks deep and I go and jump into a club set and some shit pops off, like, I'm gonna end up with egg on my face, bro. Do you know what I mean? Don't embarrass yourself.
Egg on your face. Yeah, that's the thing as well.
Egg on your chin, mate.
If you're not confident, and if it is an early club set and stuff goes wrong, you're gonna panic even worse.
You're gonna have the sickest panic attack.
when I first got onto Serato, bruv. So I got Serato in 2007, I think. I think it was 2007. I bought it on a trip. Yeah, it was late 2007. And basically, I spent 6 months practicing with my Serato. I was already out playing in clubs at this point, obviously, but I had Serato, I had my laptop. I spent 6 months playing with Serato at home before I transferred my club sets from vinyl to Serato. And that was to learn everything about it. And I'd be DJing at home in my bedroom still, and I'd have all the Serato there, and I'd just pull the USB lead out halfway through just to see what happens. Put the wires in the wrong way round just to see what happens, and basically learn everything that could go wrong
with
it.
Double fully troubleshooted the Serato at home, you know.
Yeah,
I respect that.
100%, because also, like, at that time, I was just going to say,
bro, that changeover was a madness, going from vinyl to all that digital stuff when Serato first dropped. It confused, man.
Well, not only that, but you've got to think of, like, the way that I was now looking for and finding my music in the club has completely changed. I've gone from looking through my record box and recognizing the sleeves and the different colors and where they are in the box, to now effectively looking at a black and orange, I think it's black and orange at the time, a black and orange screen of what the songs are. Like,
I'd have said that, bro, because remember the vinyls, bro, that was exactly how it was. You didn't even, you could just see the colour of the side of the case and you just knew
that
which record it was.
Exactly. Like, so you look at the top of top of the vinyl sleeve, and that's how you pick out your song. But now I'm looking at the computer laptop and it's just a list of songs. So even looking at your library has completely changed. So I wanted to make sure that I was fully prepared for anything that went wrong. And like, I remember there were hiccups in the early days, but I knew how to solve them. And even now, like, if something goes wrong, if the music stops, or if on setup it's not working, I know within about 5 seconds what the problem is. Not an exaggeration. Like, but within five seconds, I know exactly what the issue is and how to fix it. And that's because...
That whole switch to technology was a myth, bro. I remember the first time of being able to use all my songs on MP3 and just have that whole library there. I was like...
Mad.
What? Bro, your brain just overflows, man. Because you went from carrying 2-3 crates of vinyl or a CD wallet to having access to your whole library just by the click of a button.
Exactly.
I couldn't believe it when Serato came out. I was like, what is this madness?
Yeah, it's crazy, bro. It was proper mad. But another thing, actually, I'd say, if you're trying to transfer from being a bedroom DJ to a club DJ, one method I took, and this is how I got my very first club job, or it wasn't even a club, it was like a little bar called Bar Agua in Eastbourne, and I basically blagged it in the best way, bruv. So I found a flyer, because back in those days people actually gave out pieces of cardboard with all the information for the party. They didn't post it on Instagram and Facebook. I found a flyer and there was a number at the bottom that said info. And so basically, I remember at the time I was in the back of a car in my ex-girlfriend's mum's car on the way up to Newcastle. And I thought, let me just try this. So I phoned the number, and I'd never played out in public other than I'd done a couple of college parties, basically. So I did like a sixth form party with my friend at the time, Benji. Shouts to Benji. We've done like 3 or 4 sixth form parties, and that was it. So very local, like small people. But so I had this number off this flyer, and I'm on the way in the back of the car, and I just thought, you know what, I'm going to call. So I called, and this really deep voice picked up, and I was like, and I'm basically, this is me. So I'm 17 at this point, yeah? So this is me. And I was just like,
hi, it's DJ Double.
Yeah, basically. I was like, hi, I was given your number. Check out the lie that I told to get into the industry. I was given your number by someone who said that you needed a DJ, and they told me to call you because I'm a DJ. And the guy went, bruv, no lie, the guy went, oh yeah, we do need a DJ. So
I rate that.
Yes,
my man,
straight away,
see the tactics,
I'm like,
bruv.
Mate, I'm in the building. And then he was like, right, so can you come for a tryout? And I was like, yeah, of course I can. Like, not knowing, I didn't know anything about, like, so I didn't know what the process was. So basically, yeah, after the phone call, we sorted a day and a time, and I had to go around to this guy's house, a guy called Flex, DJ Flex, who's now residing in Hastings, I believe. And I had to do like a half an hour set for him in his front room, like DJ, basically.
That must have been awkward.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Went to man's crib.
Yeah, went to his
Make
crib.
A brew in that.
Yep. And like, he's mad. He's a big guy as well. Like, he was, at the time, he was an absolute unit. Slightly taller than me. He had
Flex? Do I yeah, know Flex?
I'm not sure.
That guy?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So he's a Jamaican guy. And he, like...
Yeah, I know who my man is. So I used to DJ in some strip clubs and that back in the day when I first started chatting to my man.
I'm not sure. I don't know. But yeah, shouts to DJ Flex, man. And obviously, in the front room, like, at the time, I felt like I absolutely smacked it. Listening back now probably would have been, like, slightly mediocre. But after that...
Backlangs.
He was like, yeah, cool. I've got a bar that you can come and play at. And then once you're done in the bar, come and do the first half an hour in the clubs. And that was
sick.
Bruv, that was before the 24-hour licensing came in. So that was when bars were open until 11 and clubs were open until 2.
Wow.
Yeah, so I would DJ in the bar from like either 7 or 8, I think. 7 or 8 p.m. until, I think until 10 o'clock or maybe 10:30. And then literally just round the corner, straight to the club, and then 10:30 till 11. I'll do the little warm up, and yeah,
cold.
And I used to get this. So that was my first ever thing. I got paid £30. Big up Flex, £30 for all of that, and I didn't drive at the time, so I had to pay £25 to get a cab home.
Bro, do you remember them ones, yeah. Bro? I got £30 for my first Monday. Yeah? It was a student one in town, yeah. And it cost me £20, £25 to get home in a cab.
Robert, exactly the same.
I used to get the Metrolink there, so I could get the Met there, which is like 2-3 quid. But on the way back, there's no Met, and it, like, city centre was far from where my pops used to live.
Yeah.
So it's like 20-25 quid in a black cab. Robert, so I don't even. I was walking out of a 5G.
Yeah, exactly the same.
Fiver.
And my dad used to drop me off. My dad used to take me there to drop me off, and then I'd have to get a cab home because it was like 2 a.m. But that's just a first experience. Like, we are gonna do a pod clot about like pay structures, like how to get paid and how much to charge and how
Double's
to do
gonna
that
tell
stuff.
Us Double's gonna tell us all these rates.
Yeah, basically. We're gonna get all the dirt. We are gonna do a pod clot about that, but that's not what that one. But that was just my story of how I broke into like the local club scene, basically. And obviously from there, other clubs got interested because I made sure that I was doing a good job. Then other clubs get interested, and when they contact you, you can set the rates, etc., etc. And then I just kind of locally kind of climbed the ladder and just became that go-to guy for the sick club set.
It's like climbing the football ladder, brother. It's like you start off in the conference, local man's in the conference now, just feeling it out, a couple local shitty bars, clubs with like side of the walls missing and that, you know what I mean? Build your way up, bruv. Listen, I miss them early gigs, man. I'm not even gonna lie, bro. You couldn't even use social media to promote your gigs then. So literally, you just had to make noise in your ends, and let the vibe travel.
100%.
It wasn't the case of like now. If you have a sick club night or you do a sick gig, you can do you know what I mean? People are on socials, they're tagging you. The vibe's spreading digitally. Back then, word of mouth, bruv.
Word
of mouth is key.
100%.
And like even still to this day, I still try and keep them same tactics, man. Like you can't beat the power of word of mouth. If man are going around telling other man that you're a dope DJ, that's much better. Like that's just, it's just a natural organic thing, innit? And then vibes like the semi just comes your way in the end. Like that's how it worked for me. Like, I had to do a sound clash to get my first proper residency.
Right.
And I had to fight for it, bro. Yeah, man, it was a Monday night called We Love R&B at a night called Paparazzi, and they were tied in with Atlantic Street Team.
Okay.
It was when Matchstick started running that.
Matchstick, man, like Match.
Bro, to check this, they did a sound clash on the Monday, and it was like all the local DJs and like all the people that were hot at the time. You got Destiny Crew and then like DJ Pesh and a few other guys. So I've gone in there as the outsider, the underdog, the kid from Sale, blah blah. But what it did, it went off crowd reaction.
Right.
So I'm just thinking, if I bring all my ends with me to this dance, I can win.
Right, yeah.
So that's what I did. Man went down with about 100 local friends, bro.
Sick. Yeah, that's sick.
So whenever it comes to judging the rounds and the crowd had to make noise, my friends just lit up the gaff, bro. Yeah. I ended up winning it.
Yes. Nice.
My friends lit up the gaff, bro. But then that was how I got into Atlantic Street Team. That was when Match was on me, and I thought I'd made it, bro. When Atlantic asked me to be part of the Street Team, I was like, that's it, I've made it.
yeah, that's sick. I'm not
gonna
lie.
I'm like 18, 19, and they're sending me you know when they used to send the vinyls in the post.
Yeah,
getting the vinyls sent to me, all the reaction sheets. I'm getting free music all the time. I'm like, yo, I am officially a proper DJ. I'm in, G.
Bro, it's exactly the same. When I got onto the Street Team, I felt like I'd been signed, bro. That was in my bio and everything. I even changed my email address to DJ Double and then in brackets Atlantic Street Team. I was like, yeah, this shit's got weight, bro. Like, I'm out here. I think it did. Not realizing.
I think
it did
have weight at the time, though. It did have weight at the time, bro. Like, if you was a DJ part of that, like that, because the market wasn't mad like the way it is now, where everyone's a DJ. Like, it was way more selective, and not everybody could just go and be a DJ. Do you know what I mean? So, like, being part of something like that back then, it did have weight, I think. Like, 100%.
Yeah.
I used to get bookings and they used to put it on the flyer. Stylus, Atlantic, Warner, blah, 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 Sony, BMG, what, like, all that. Because then, obviously, after that, you end up getting Def Jam hit you up, they want to send you music. Sony hit you up, they want to send you music.
And before
you know it, every fucking label is sending you free music. Yeah. Like, it's the best thing ever. I've not bought music for years.
It was the best. Yeah, it was amazing, man. It was amazing. Just quickly, I think actually before we round up, like the last way I would say nowadays probably a good way to do it, and I've done this for a couple people, is to look at like when you build relationships with DJs that are already in the clubs, obviously, like, speak to them and just ask them, like, oh, if there's any jobs you can't do, like, can you hit me up? Do you know what I mean? Like, so actually quite a few people recently have sent me like mixes and stuff, and I've just thought, you know what, I'll have a listen to it and listen through, giving them their feedback. But obviously by them sending the mixes, I can hear that they can actually mix. And then what's happened is a couple of opportunities have come up where certain sets or certain jobs I've been offered, or the opportunities come into my scope, and it's either I can't do it for various reasons, or it's not suitable. Like, maybe the club wouldn't have like the budget that I'd be after, etc. And it'd be more suitable for like a beginner DJ. I'm trying to say this without sounding proper stush, do you know what I mean? But like, what
no,
I mean,
it's not a stush, like, bro. There's rankings in this, man. You got to work your way up.
Exactly, like smaller room sets and stuff where the budget is slightly less than what I would be comfortable doing it for. And then basically, if it's in an area where there's someone else who has hit me up and been like, yo, have you got any work? Like, I've just referred them. Just connected them. Do you know what I mean? So right, yeah, okay. You there, go meet the manager. The manager will tell you the details. There you go, you've got the job. Now they've got their first club residency. Everyone wins. Do you know what I mean? So like, I feel like that's quite a good way. So if you're in an area where there's a good scene and there's DJs that are popping and stuff, like, connect with the DJs, man. If they're cool guys, and they're not these, like, there are some hateful types that like to keep their stuff completely protected and won't ever open the doors. But similarly, like, those guys are easy to spot anyway. So there's going to be cool. There's a bunch of really cool DJs that are out and about. So just connect with a DJ, and you never know. If an opportunity comes up that they can't do, they might push you forward to it. That might be the start of your club residency.
Practice.
Get good.
Get them techers up. Don't be afraid to put yourself out there. Yeah. Network to get work.
There.
Do you know what I mean? Don't beg it.
Don't beg it.
Get your skills up, fam.
You can beg it. You can beg it a little bit, but just
You can beg it a little bit.
Stylishly. Don't.
Exactly. There's a way to beg, in it. Don't be down on your knees groveling. Style it out. You get me?
Yeah.
If you're gonna beg the work, do it in the right way.
Yeah. Exactly. And one thing I will add, which
beg
actually
correctly,
another beg appropriately. But one thing I would add, agencies. We're going to have to do a whole episode about agencies. If you're going to go the agency route, and if there's going to be an agency involved, tread very carefully, basically. But I think we're going to do a whole episode. Maybe the next episode we'll talk about agencies and what to be expected and all of that stuff.
Do you know what we should start? We should do a talk over agency. What?
Oh, let's make money, curse!
Agency, yeah, and we'll do like consultations and that. Well, get me, we'll sit down with DJs on a professional level and that, you know what I mean?
There we go, you're giving
away. I feel like we're already doing that anyway. The amount of open conversations I'm having with DJs in my DMs now,
basically, yeah.
Stylist, the consultationist,
consultant, I think is probably the right word.
Consultationist to it.
Just
added some drip,
So, shit, there was something else I was going to say as well, but it slipped out of my mind. And as soon as we stop recording, I'm going to remember it.
Oh, don't do that, fam. Come on, rack your brains.
Nah, it's gone. It's long gone, bro. I don't remember.
It's gone.
Yeah. So,
all good.
Yeah.
I think we covered most of it. Like, well, in a squeeze anyway, we could obviously go super deeper, but we're just going to try and flick through a couple of these topics that people have sent us on Twitter this week. So yeah, big up Mikey O for the shout for bedroom DJ to club DJ. I hope that helps a little bit. And yeah, big up your chest.
Hashtag talkover podcast. But Clart. If you're just tweeting about it on a regular one, write pod Clart instead. But yeah, #talkoverpodcast is the branding.
Hit me and Dubs on Instagram and Twitter as well. You can hit us up. Like, I feel like people message like both of us individually for like off the back of the podcast, innit? Like, we've both got people reaching out, so I think that's dope.
Yeah,
mine's DJ Stylish UK. Mine's Dubs is DJ at DJ
Double
L.
Official. Double DJ D U B L official.
L. Dub L.
Dub.
All right, sick, man. Well, tell a friend, follow us in it. Spotify, Apple Podclarts.
Apple Podclarts.
that's where you can find us. Do you know what? I feel like more people are engaging since we pulled it off YouTube. That's a bit mad.
It's definitely growing, bro. The stats, the numbers don't lie, mate. And
it's creeping up, man. It's growing. Creeping up, man. I'm listening.
It's growing.
Feeling it. All right. Until next time.
Peace, Clart.